Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening. And joining me to co-host today is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Walker, what are you going to be following today for us on our Facebook page?
Well, I'm going to have us running Facebook Live, which means people can watch the show live via video and audio, or they can go to AFR.net and listen live there.
Today's Issues on the Facebook?
Yes, sir.
On Facebook.
That Facebook
thing you got going on. How many people like us, Walker?
We have almost 8,000 likes. We're growing.
How many people dislike us?
Millions.
Besides the southern part.
Millions.
Wow. That's going to damage our self-esteem. Ed and I are going to need a safe space.
Well.
Huh?
Don't
you need it somewhere to...
I feel myself melting as a snowflake.
Somebody give me a puppy.
Speaking of safe spaces, I was watching Fox and Friends this morning, and apparently New York City is going to have government-funded therapy where you bring in the dog you can pet post-election therapy. The government's going to pay for it.
Oh, they're still reeling from the Trump election.
Yeah,
huh?
De Blasio's the man. He's going to be there for you if you're down and out.
Anyway, so...
You know, Italians can feel shame, too, and the fact that de Blasio is
Italian
mayor of New York City gives at least some Italians just a sense of a chill down my spine, really.
Okay. I think you could probably write the Southern Poverty Law Center down as a dislike for our show, huh?
That's an easy one.
Okay. All right, joining us with headlines of the day is our good friend Fred Jackson, who's a news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Always a joy to join you guys. It really is. I enjoy the opening conversation there.
So you like us? Put Fred down for a like.
Fred, we got one
like. So that's 8,000 how many?
And one.
8,001.
8,001 people like
us. Listeners, raise your hand.
I'm not even sure that I've liked it. Put me down.
That's two. So you like yourself, do you?
I'm liking it. I'm liking me.
Be nice to Walker.
All right, Fred, what's happening out there in the world?
Well, what everybody kind of knew became official this morning that President-elect Donald Trump announced this morning that he has settled on ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson to be his nominee for Secretary of State.
He just wants cheaper gas for his jet.
Could be. Air Force, whatever. It's going to be, yeah.
Or Air Force One.
Yeah. Tillerson, in responding, saying he's honored by the selection and says he shares Trump's, quote, vision for restoring the credibility of the United States foreign relations and advancing our country's national security, end quote. So there you have it, restoring the credibility of the United States foreign relations. That's where he stands on
the
issue.
Well, this is a different kind of choice. What's the gentleman's name again, Tillerson?
Rex Tillerson. Tillerson.
How do you spell that?
Tillerson.
Okay, and he's the current CEO?
Current CEO of ExxonMobil, largest oil company in the world.
And one of the largest corporations in the world, period.
Period.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Multi-millionaire, going to take a huge pay cut.
Yeah, he gets paid like $245 million a year or something?
Well, he's just got $100 million in Exxon stocks alone. Plus, he gets paid, I think it's about $60 million a year.
Oh, okay. All right.
Slightly more than you, Ed.
I was going to say, that's twice as much as I get paid a year.
So you're saying, he probably hasn't missed the house payment.
No.
And his cars are probably paid off.
I would think so.
Hey, in all seriousness, a well accomplished businessman without question.
Mm-hmm.
But that's out of the norm, probably way out of the norm in terms of having a businessman go in who has no experience in government to go to the the second most prestigious job in an administration, with all due apologies to the vice president who attends a lot of funerals around the world. Typically, that's the role of a vice president. Now, I think Mike Pence is going to be more involved in it. Obviously, he is in the administration. But so this is, as I said, this is out of the, well, it's typical for Donald Trump. He's not really going with any conventional wisdom per se. He's just going with Donald's gut on things, right?
It is. I mean, Donald Trump is different, and he doesn't apologize for it. He just believes Tillerson has made deals with governments all over the world because of the size of ExxonMobil and their business. And, of course, if you've been listening to the mainstream media, they're up in arms because Tillerson has had dealings with Vladimir Putin of Russia.
Business dealings.
And I think he got an honorary citizen award or something like that.
He did, from Russia.
From Russia. And so, you know, those in the mainstream media, the critics on the other side, the Democrats, are saying this is terrible, this is awful, that Tillerson
should
be in that position.
One negative that I read this morning, Tony Perkins, our friend at the Family Research Council, was commenting on
Mr. Tillerson.
And the fact that he was on the board of directors of the Boy Scouts of America and was one of the promoters of the changing their policy on homosexuality.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what Tony said.
Right, right.
But
also, some Republicans have expressed concern, you know, raising the specter of a confirmation fight with Trump's own party over Tillerson. Mm-hmm. And their concern is not the homosexual thing, because there are very few Republicans who even understand that issue. This is the Russian, back to the Russian ties.
John McCain, Lindsey Graham.
Those conservative
stalwarts. We'll see how it goes with him now. Also, the former governor of Texas has been named.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure if it's been named yet, but it's pretty well out there. They said there's a deal in place as of last night.
Rick Perry
is going to head up the be Secretary of Energy. Of course, the Secretary of Energy, the Energy Department, is the department that he couldn't name when he was running for president.
Was that 2008? 2008.
I want to eliminate three government departments. He named two, and he said, what was that other one?
The Commerce Department, the Department of Education, and then, he said, what was that other one? He couldn't remember.
That's a very human moment that happened at a very unfortunate time.
Derailed his presidential aspirations.
That's right.
That one mistake, and it was the Department of Energy. He couldn't remember, and so now
he's going to be.
If he's confirmed.
Remember, Cruz did that in the primary. Mm-hmm. Cruz was in a Fox News debate, and he forgot something, one of the agencies.
Yeah.
But he kind of moved on from it like it didn't happen. Uh-huh. And after, in an interview afterwards with Megyn Kelly, he corrected himself. So he jumped on that before the media could.
Well, you know, I don't know if this is true or not, but we're into the rumor business here, so I'm just going to throw it out there. And that is Governor Perry was experiencing severe back pain at the time of that debate, that infamous moment where he couldn't remember the third agency.
Not a rumor. That was his explanation.
Well, that makes sense. If you ever had back pain, you know.
Yeah,
but that's one of those things where you go, probably don't need to go out there.
Right.
If I can't concentrate enough to do a debate, probably need to bow out. And if I remember, that was a debate of about seven or eight people.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a one-on-one.
He turned. I don't remember which other Republican was standing next to him, but I think he actually turned and said, what was that other one?
And that's funny.
And then the guys, don't look at me. I'm not helping you.
Yeah. Right, right. I would have probably said, he named two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Governor Perry.
Commerce and education.
I would have probably at that point said, and just whatever, throw in one. Whatever one you want to, other one you want to close, we can close it down too. But I can't remember the one out. But anyway, so that's not official yet, that nomination, but it's going to be that, again, this is a another, the Department of Energy, the other side of this, the left wing.
Oh, the Greens are going nuts already. you know, because, I mean.
How many times can you go nuts?
Well, we're going to find out.
These liberal groups are going nuts every day. I don't know. How many, they're probably going, you know, we're tired of going nuts. I'm not going nuts today. I'm taking today off.
I'm just
going
to let my head spin.
We're going to find out what the human limit is.
How many
is.
Times can my head spin off my shoulders, the liberals ask. So anyway, what else you got?
Well, what's going to happen with a guy like Rick Perry, former governor of Texas, Mr. Oil, is that the Greens obviously say, you know, those pipelines are going to pipe and that coal's coming out of the ground and the oil's coming out of the ground. And
we're all going to have cheap gas.
All cheap gas. So yeah. There it is. You're going to be talking later on in the show, I know, to the Attorney General of Texas about this case. There's a school in Killeen. And the school in Killeen was in the news last week, thanks to Todd Starnes. Right. Teacher at the school puts up a Charlie Brown poster, which quotes that biblical verse, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown, Linus said. All right, so the principal of the school there in Killeen, Texas, says you got to take that down, contrary to church and state.
To the teacher.
To the teacher. All right, so the teacher complains, and the Attorney General of Texas comes out publicly and says, wait a minute, the principal can't do that because we have a Christmas law which was passed in this state to protect people saying Merry Christmas, celebrating the religious aspect, obviously, of Christmas. But now Todd Starnes has this out this morning that the principal is digging in and saying no. We're standing by it. We have a diverse community, and so we're standing by our decision to take down this poster. Very interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what the Attorney General says. Also, there is a school board meeting tonight, a public school board meeting there in Killeen. That should be very interesting because I have a feeling a community that is largely military, Fort Hood, home of Fort Hood there in Killeen, a lot of parents are likely going to have something to say about this.
Well, and the teacher has now gotten legal representation.
Legal representation.
Because this, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, this principal, if the principal, and I don't know if the principal is a man or a woman, do you know? I'll just say he. If he says, I don't care what the Attorney General says and I don't care what the law is, we're going to do what I want to do, then the teacher should be able to say to the principal, well, if you're going to ignore the Attorney General, I'm going to ignore you. I mean, this is the road you go down when you say we're a law unto ourselves here in Killeen and we don't have to follow the law of Texas. So, you know, this is the kind of thing where you get breakdowns all over the place when you decide you're going to run your own show in the public schools.
All right, Fred, thank you so much for that. And people can read the news at onenewsnow.com.
It'll be there.
And you guys send out a daily
email. You can sign up for it. Go to our site, sign up for it every day. You get these and many other stories. The latest, what's going on in the culture war. It's all there for you.
At onenewsnow.com.
Amen.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano and Walker Wildman. And joining us now is Dr. Frank Turek from Cross Examined Ministries. Frank has a radio show each Saturday morning here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I heard you just talking about this principal down there in Texas. And what did you say? This guy claimed it's a diverse community? Is that what he said?
Unless you're a Christian.
Yeah, how is it a diverse community to say that there's no religious significance to Christmas? How is that diverse?
Well, Frank, don't make us defend the guy. You know, we just
come on.
Here's the argument. Here's the argument you get from the secularist on this.
Uh-huh.
They're going to tell you, hey, we got all, this is a public school. We got all children from all kind of backgrounds here. And if you allow for a teacher to put a Bible verse up, for example, about Christmas, that's favoring one religion over the others, and therefore it makes these other children feel inferior. And we can't promote one religion over another. That's the argument they're making.
Isn't it amazing to when we hear that kind of argument that Or is it any wonder when we hear that kind of argument that our kids just wilt under the slightest of pressure or the slightest event that doesn't go their way? They have to cancel classes if the election doesn't go their way. They have to have puppies flown in by De Blasio or up there in New York to pet because things haven't gone their way. We are not showing these kids how to get on in the real world where people have different opinions, and you have to be able to tolerate and respect other opinions, which means you might actually see a Bible verse every now and then. And as you guys know, nowhere in our Constitution does it say that putting a Bible verse on a school wall is somehow an establishment of a national church. It's not an establishment of a national church. It's just pointing out that this is the reason we celebrate Christmas. You don't have to celebrate Christmas. You can disagree with that verse, but that doesn't mean you have a right not to see that verse.
If you're going to be consistent, it seems to me, here's what the school would need to do. This principal who said Charlie Brown and the verse of Scripture, or at least a verse of Scripture related to the Charlie Brown television special about from Luke.
Right. Luke chapter 2.
You need to get that off, though. If you're going to be consistent, what you need to say is, okay, all non-Christians need to come to school during the Christmas break.
Otherwise, they'll be offended for those two or three weeks.
We know that it'll be offensive for you to miss school during the, quote, Christmas break. So if you're not celebrating a holiday in your religion, you need to come on to school. And I'll just see how much participation that gets.
Well, look, I don't know why they're worried about it anyway. According to Charlie Brown, kids don't hear anything their teachers say anyway. All they hear is wah, 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 wah.
You know, duly noted.
So what noted,
does it matter? Dude, you know,
how do they sound, Frank?
Wah, 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 wah. That's what they hear, right?
Yeah, that's
this
right.
This is how absurd this separation of church and state has gotten.
Yeah.
As you said, Frank, it doesn't establish a national church. It's you know what? Christmas, whether you like it or not, is a federal holiday.
That's
right. You know why we close federal buildings on December the 25th? Is because it's the birthday of Jesus Christ.
It's also the birthday of my wife, too. She was born that day. That's why they do that. That's what I've been told
by
her.
All right, Frank, then in that order, it's the birthday of Jesus Christ.
I'm backing out of this one.
And then it's Frank Turek's wife's birthday.
Frank's on his own now.
I'm on my own?
Hey,
just like Rick Perry, I think we ought to eliminate at least three hosts on this show. I don't know which ones, but...
Can't name them.
Three of them got to go.
But it's just ridiculous how this has gotten in. So if December 25th is a federal holiday, and America's always had a special place for Christmas, and this is ridiculous. All right, let's talk about this fake news stuff. What is fake news anyway, Frank?
Well, let me show you an example of fake news. I'm looking at my computer right now. I'm looking at a CNN article, and this is from today, and here's the headline: Russian hacking and the 2016 election explained. Okay, now when you just read that headline, what does that make you think of? It makes you think that somehow the Russians have hacked into the election and altered the results, right?
Yes,
that's
correct.
That's
what that headline seems. But when you read the article, you realize that's not what it's about at all. Because what the Russians apparently may have done, and the FBI and the CIA disagree over this, they may have hacked into the DNC emails, which led to WikiLeaks, which meant that private emails were being dribbled out into the public by the guy over there in the embassy. What's his name? Assange?
Yes, Julian Assange.
Yeah, and I think Julian Assange has said it's not the Russians. But in any event, even if it is the Russians, this has nothing to do with hacking votes and changing vote totals. It does, if it's true, mean that people out there were taking private emails. They happened to be emails on Clinton staff, and they made them public. Now, obviously, I don't think they ought to do that. I don't think that private emails ought to be revealed publicly. But that is not hacking an election. That is just providing private emails to the public. Now, may that have influenced how people voted? Well, it may have. I don't know. But there's no evidence to this date anyway from either the CIA, the FBI, or anybody else that the Russians or any other country changed votes in terms of hacking election voting machines. And that's what all these stories that come out have in the headlines, and the general public's going, oh, yeah, maybe our election has been hacked. Maybe Hillary really did win. No, she didn't.
Yeah, when you read those headlines, you do think, well, they've tampered with the election results.
Yeah,
they tipped the scales in Ohio and Wisconsin
and changed
votes or something.
Actually,
that's
when they did the recount in Wisconsin, Trump got more votes.
Yes, that's true. But the headline that to which Dr. Frank Turek, who's our guest right now, is referring, it's that when you talk about fake news, you're talking about things that are misleading.
That's right.
That aren't true, and that purport to be stories when they aren't, and people are buying into it.
You know,
and
one of the
mainstream
best
media is as bad as anybody.
One of the best examples of fake news was that a YouTube video led to the Benghazi disaster. You remember that?
Yes.
And who put that forward, by the way?
President Obama and Hillary Clinton.
No, it's the Russians.
Exactly.
The Russians hacked.
The Russians did that?
Yes.
I think it was Rick Perry, actually. I think you guys had mentioned earlier. Yeah. He may have just forgotten that he was the one that came up with that.
You know, you would think that this is the old Soviet Union. With as much power we seem to ascribe to the Russians, mm-hmm. you'd think they were the superpower. I mean, they can do anything.
I know somebody.
They can change our elections.
Putin's probably over there, you know, surfing the internet going, wow, I had no idea we were this powerful.
We're back.
We are back.
We are back.
Ruskies, baby.
It's pretty easy to hack into an email when you put your server in your basement and it's unsecure.
Bathroom. Let's not engage in fake news here, Frank.
All right.
It was the bathroom, not the basement.
Oh, man. Hey, what do you think about, I want to ask you about two appointments in particular by President-elect Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, mm-hmm.
yep.
Senator from Alabama.
And I like also, Jeff Sessions. Yeah.
And also the Representative Tom Price from Georgia, who has been named, his name has been submitted for the Health and Human Services.
I've heard nothing but good things about Price. I don't know him as well as I know Sessions politically.
Okay.
But if you want to see where either of these guys have stood politically, there's a great nonpartisan website that you can go to. I know AFA puts out great material on this with regard to voting guides. But if you just type in your browser, say, Jeff Sessions on the issues, you will see everything he said and everything he's done with regard to a number of issues, and it shows you where the person stands politically. You can do that with any candidate. And I find that website very helpful because it just shows you what they said and what they voted on. So this Price guy, I've heard, is excellent on this issue of Obamacare and how to fix that, how to get rid of the bad parts of it and move forward in that regard. That's what I have heard. I don't know much about him personally, though.
He's also hated by Planned Parenthood.
He's perfect. Yes. He's perfect. That's what I said. He's absolutely – and they probably want to abort his nomination. Would you think that would be the case?
Probably so. Probably uh-huh. so. But I think – don't you think overall, in any administration, with President Obama's administration, there's probably going to be nobody you agree with if you're a conservative. But if you're a conservative – and you look at what Donald Trump has done so far with his announcements of his team, you got to give him a thumbs up overall, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. He's really put some conservative folks in there. And I don't know much about Tillerson, but I'm hoping for that free gas just like everybody else.
It's America right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Trump,
that's right, baby.
Trump gas instead of the Obama phone. It's Trump gas.
Oh, yeah, all the Exxons are going to be renamed Trump stations now. So...
Get another Trump station, get some free gas. And
that's right.
Okay. Hey, Frank, what's your website and what's there?
Crossexamine.org. And people need to tune in this Saturday because we're having the great Tim Keller on from Redeemer and Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York. Fabulous books he's got out. New one called Making Sense of God. So Tim Keller will have on for the whole hour this Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central.
On American Family Radio, Cross-Examined, Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks. Great being with you guys. God bless.
The
The gifts the Magi brought to Jesus have often been considered the first Christmas gifts ever given. But the very first Christmas gift was Jesus himself, because that baby, born in humble circumstances, was the gift of God's love to a lost and dying world. This Christmas, share the love we've been given with all you encounter and keep Christ at the center of Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and a blessed new year. A wish from American Family Radio.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Whenever you hear a liberal talking about cultural diversity, it normally means, uh-oh. Case in point, Bloomington, Indiana. The mayor just announced they are renaming two paid holidays. Columbus Day will henceforth be known as Fall Holiday, and Good Friday will be known as Spring Holiday. Mayor John Hamilton says citizens need to respect cultural diversity and sensitivity. And so they accomplish that by disrespecting Italians and Christians? Mayor Hamilton may not be aware, but Christians commemorate the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on Good Friday. It's not about frolicking in a field of pansies. It's a holy day. And I've just about had it with anti-Christian lawmakers trying to whitewash our faith from the public marketplace. They never touch the Muslim holidays, do they? You'd have a better chance of spotting Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. We want to welcome our new listeners in Montgomery, Alabama, and Lexington, Kentucky. That's our two newest American Family Radio stations. And Adam, see if you have time to find out where we are on the dial in those communities. Those are brand new stations so that we put on the air. And so in the last 6 months, we've added New Orleans, Louisiana. We've upgraded in Baton Rouge.
Right.
We've upgraded in Huntsville, Alabama. We've added Montgomery, and we've added Lexington.
And Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Jacksonville is not, we don't have our FM signal on yet.
Right.
In Jacksonville, Florida. But once we turn that on, in the next couple
did you,
of
did you mention Culpeper, the Northern Virginia?
That's a good point. No, I did not. We've in the last 6 months, we've also added our Northern Virginia station, which is out of Culpeper, a small town in Northern Virginia, but it reaches the Washington, D.C. suburbs.
God has really blessed AFR with some, you know, we hadn't expanded in a long time. And this was just kind of sudden. It just seemed to be a God thing. And our supporters really helped us getting those stations and getting them on the air. We were able to reach a lot more potential, you know, listening audience.
Greater. And we've added a lot of new people who listen to us now on our app. You know, we have an app on
right
that you can access so that you can listen on your iPhone or your Android or your iPad. You can listen anywhere in the world to American Family Radio with a simple app that takes you about 60 seconds to to download, and so thousands of people are taking advantage of that. You don't really have to have, you know, access to one of our radio stations any longer.
Well, and it's just a blessing for people. And you've told stories.
My whole life, and I've gotten spankings for it, too.
Well, I meant real stories of people who have moved away from a community that had a terrestrial AFR station and moved to places, you know, New York City and places like that.
Where they have extraterrestrial
AFR certainly stations. Some extraterrestrials there. But they were able to listen to AFR, and they downloaded the app on their smartphone or their tablet or – or even you can listen on your computer.
Hey, back to the telling stories thing. That's the term my mom used to use.
I grew up in the North. My mom called it lying. People are so polite down in the South. Yeah, don't you tell a story.
That's what I know. That's what
my mom. Are you lying, devil?
Hey, Timmy, you look at me. Are you telling a story? Huh?
Southerners are so polite, at least initially.
So up north, they just said, "Hey, are you telling a lie, Ed?
Edward? If I catch you lying, I'm gonna wash your mouth out with soap,
Edward." But I didn't use a bad word, Mom. It doesn't matter. You lied.
That's right.
That's good enough for a mouth.
Death from above,
mouth,
buddy.
Mouth watching. Your dad was a Marine. He didn't put up with an ex-Marine. Well, he said
former Marine, retired Marine.
So he was.
Yeah, my mom.
He ran the home like a.
Oh yeah, if my mom said, "Wait till your father gets home,"
you didn't want to hear those words.
My sisters and I, we spent the rest of the afternoon trying to get my mom to rescind that order. Please don't tell dad. Please don't tell dad. Please.
I will clean the house. I'll mow the grass, but it's January, son. I don't care. I'll get out there and mow it anyway.
Just mow it. You wait. You wait. Yeah, you watch.
Just don't tell dad. Oh man, that reminds me one time, Allison, my wife, we had three children, and when they're grown and have kids of their own now, but when they were back in the home, you know, as smaller children, one time she told my son Wesley.
You're actually lowering your voice right now, like you're going to start to whisper this.
Oh, really?
This must have been really bad.
Okay, well, listen, don't tell anybody told you this, okay? No, but anyway, I get home one day, and Allison, my wife, she's pretty tough cookie. She used to handle. She handled things quite well herself. Thank you. But one day she said, "You know, all right, whatever you've done, Wesley, he was about 10. You're going to wait till your dad gets home.
Yeah,
and maybe he'll deal with you then. You know, I've dealt with you, and he'll deal with you even more.
Yeah.
So, but what, you know, it's hard though when you come into a situation and your wife tells you, you need to go deal with him because he did such and such.
She's wanting intensity, and you're just like, I don't know, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, so you don't even know, you're hit with this, blindsided, and you're supposed to, you have no emotional investment in this. You're not angry at anybody. You're chilling, getting off work, and you're supposed to go into the room and work up a righteous indignation, and boy, have you had it, young man.
I'm not even sure what you did, but I am really angry.
So I think I went in there and sort of, all right, let me tell you something. You do that again. Let me tell you, you're grounded for a month, you know, or something like that. So then he didn't, you could tell. My Allison was listening outside the door.
Yeah.
And the energy level I was displaying just was not good enough. The negative energy directed at Wesley was just not strong enough to merit, you know, high five.
Yeah.
When I came out of the room, it was more like, what was that?
Yeah.
That was pathetic. He didn't take you seriously.
Yeah.
You don't back me up. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, little moment of crisis there. But I imagine many people identify with many men.
That is funny. I had never thought about it that way. But you walk in, you have no idea what's going on, and your wife says,
"Go in there and deal with him."
In parentheses, you better be really angry, even though you don't really know what he did.
Well, and then we switch to third person, or we switch to, I shouldn't say third person, pronouns when we get it. So instead of, you know, go talk to Wesley, it's go in there and deal with your son.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Huh? Yeah.
So you got that going on. All right. So, you know, the child rearing advice here is absolutely free. You know,
fortunately,
you've got Dr. John you've got Dr. John Roseman on the weekend. You've got Dr. James Dobson here during the weekdays, and whatever ad and I can throw in there, you know, it's no charge.
Yeah, and of course, you and I have entered into that wonderful era of life. It's called being a grandparent.
Amen.
Where I say to my kids, my grown kids, I don't remember loving you as much as I love these grandkids. I'm sure I did, but I can't remember it really rising to this level.
Right. It's a different kind of love. It's not really, it's not meat and potatoes love. It's more cotton candy.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it, because you're raising your kids. Yeah. You're don't do that. No, that's not what we say at the table.
Grandchildren, you might issue a little warning here that you don't want to do that. And then they do it. Okay, whatever. Here,
how do grandkids take grandparents seriously as authoritative? Authoritarian.
You know they know that with your grandparents, you can get away with things you could never get away with.
I will say this: parents. My heart goes out to grandparents who, for one reason or another, are actually having to raise their grandkids because they miss that. I mean, they miss that opportunity to, to be. Adults.
So. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Now Sandy Rios is with us. Sandy is host of the radio program Sandy Rios in the Morning, heard 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning here on American Family Radio. Sandy, good morning.
I am here. I just have to turn the button on. I'm here, and I'm expecting to be asked all about grandparenting.
Well, tell you got grandchildren.
Yeah, come
but
on,
you're not old. You're not old enough.
I know, but I can only imagine. And
you have grandchildren, don't you? I know you do.
I have three. Mm-hmm. I have three. 1, 2, 3. In fact, my oldest is named Moses, and so it's now on my resume. I'm the grandmother of Moses. So if you didn't respect me before.
Absolutely.
Well, what's hard for me to, I will say there's one sticking point, being a grandfather, is that means when I'm around town, I'm running around with a grandmother. That's kind of an odd thing. Yeah. I got grandkids, but that means I'm at dinner. I asked a grandmother out to dinner.
Out to dinner,
See, here I am, a girl, so I'm going to say this. I just refused to take on some cool name for my grandmothering. I am Grandma. Because what? My mother was Grandma. It's kind of like, as hokey as it might sound old. I don't care what it sounds. I am Grandma, so I own up to it.
You
here
own
I
it.
Am.
You
I own it.
It.
I own it. And my kids, Moses loves Legos, so a few years ago he was making, just free-forming with his Legos. And he made a little thing with had blonde hair. And he said, I tell you the truth, that looks like Grandma. So now we have Lego Grandma. It's
there
really
you
funny.
Go. There you go.
Okay, so Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning on AmeriFR, and also Grandma.
Yeah.
So introducing her.
Lego Grandma.
Yeah, Lego.
Lego Grandma.
Hey, Sandy, let me ask you this. I was asking Frank Turek this earlier. So far, I wanted to ask you about two guys. I asked Frank about this earlier that Trump has named to be cabinet level positions. Obviously, all these people have to be confirmed by the Senate, but two names in particular, which I got to think you're going to give high ranks to, and that is high ratings to, whatever you want to phrase it. That is Tom Price, the congressman from Georgia for Health and Human Services, and then Jeff Sessions from Alabama, the senator. For Department of Justice, for the Attorney General, I guess I should say. What do you think about those two nominees?
Well, on Tom Price, Dr. Tom Price, I've interviewed him many times, and he is a stalwart against Obamacare, so much so that he, created his own plan, the counter plan. I don't know why. When they kept saying Republicans don't have a plan, Dr. Price developed a plan a long time ago. I don't know how good it is. I don't know enough about that world to comment on that. I'm sure it's better than Obamacare, and it's probably excellent. And so, yes, he has committed himself to overturning Obamacare, and that alone makes him, to me, a very good pick. I'm very grateful. That means that Trump is serious about doing away with Obamacare, and I think that's going to be good. I had a friend that just had a quadruple bypass. It's on Obamacare. It's been a nightmare. I want that to stop. I want that to stop. So, yes, Dr. Tom Price is a good pick from my perspective.
Okay, what about Jeff Sessions for Attorney General?
Senator Jeff Sessions is a fabulous pick. I don't know if people, he's been a guest on my show many times, so people may have heard me talk to him. I've known Senator Sessions for a long time. He's one of those, I know a lot of congressmen, but I actually feel like I have a friendship with him. And I have just observed him to be a man of character, unbending at every turn. And he is right on the issues, and yet he conducts all of his opposition in the most gentlemanly way. But he's a rock that shall not be moved. You know, and when it comes to immigration, he has been so clear-thinking. I always tell him, you know, he was Ted Cruz before there was a Ted Cruz. Because he has stood on the floor of the Senate relentlessly, the lone voice, just about until the last few years when a few of the junior senators joined him, on the wrongful idea that we can open our borders and bring in more people, illegal and legal, and not hurt Americans. He has talked about this. He's talked about the borders. He's talked about sanctuary cities. He has pled. He's a former prosecutor himself, former judge. He knows all of the law. There's no one who knows the faults and the chinks in the army of the broken immigration system, legal and illegal, than Senator Jeff Sessions. And so also, he knows how corrupt that the Justice Department has become. It really is shocking, Tim. I think people would just be absolutely alarmed if they understood how corrupt, down to the very core, the number of hires that Barack Obama under Eric Holder under Barack Obama has hired, how many leftist attorneys whose records are so frightening. Just I've read page after page after page of these hires, and they are filling the halls of the Justice Department. That's why the Justice Department is doing so many unseemly things. So a man like Jeff Sessions, who's been in Washington as long as he has been, will be able to go in there and clean that place out.
Will he really? What kind of a leeway, what kind of authority does a attorney general, for example, just one head of one agency, have to bring his own people in? Because you just mentioned if the Justice Department, you know, the person that's the point person obviously is the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, right now. So Eric Holder before her. So for 8 years, these people have been able to hire like-minded people, that is, far-left ideologies, a far-left ideology, I should say. And so, you know, you got these kind of folks in control. Will Jeff Sessions be able to go in and put his own people in? That'll take some time to convert all that, won't it?
Absolutely. And it takes somebody who understands the system to do it, Tim. And it's not going to be something that's going to happen overnight. A president has a certain amount of political appointees, meaning people that he favors and he wants in the agencies. He's allowed a given number. I don't know what that number is in justice, but so that'll happen. But then you have the hundreds, if not thousands, and thousands in justice who are entrenched in the policymaking, who have been there for years. It's much harder to pull them loose. But, you know, Ronald Reagan managed to do that pretty successfully. He actually used to... He would reassign people. They could be, you know, they could stay, but they'd have to go to Timbuktu, or they could stay, but they have to sit at a desk in the hallway. There are ways to do things, and Reagan played hardball with that and was very successful. So we'll see if Jeff Sessions chooses that course. I don't know. But it's not impossible. But you're right. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be an uphill battle. You know, Washington is filled with bureaucrats.
Right.
And, you know, I think they say the average salary in federal salary is over $100,000. That's the average. And that's your tax dollars at work. So it is a power. Washington is just, I don't even know what to call it.
It's a petri dish
of bad stuff.
And it's not unusual for these bureaucrats to survive from administration to administration. I mean, that, you know, they're dug down so deep and burrowed so deeply into, let's say the State Department is especially known for having, career bureaucrats who basically shrug their shoulders when a new administration comes in, because it's just hard to find these people and it's hard to get them out. And so you, which is true about all bureaucracies. That's always been the bane of civilized societies. You have these bureaucracies that develop, whether it's, you know, your King Louis the 16th or whatever. I mean, you have these bureaucracies, and they're kind of self-sustaining. And once a department is created in the U.S. government, they're almost self-perpetuating.
Well, that's absolutely true, Ed, and I should have been clearer. The new president has a certain amount of political employees, and then they go to work among the career employees. And if you have a weak leader, if you have a weak person at the top, the career employees will absolutely overpower, ignore directives, and nothing will change. But it's not impossible for a strong leader to get in there and, you know, with a chisel,
right,
clean the place up in due time. I sort of think Donald Trump will do that, but he's got to have the right people under him in each of these positions. I think Jeff Sessions is the right guy for attorney general.
Let me ask you this along these lines. I'm reading a story from MSN. They're talking here about President-elect Donald Trump's weekend statement that he did not plan to receive a daily intelligence briefing. It talks about how – here's what Trump has said. President-elect Trump, I should say. He said that he will Trump said on Fox News that he is very good people, quote, very good people are giving him periodic briefings, but that he has delegated the daily briefing to Vice President-elect Mike Pence because he doesn't want to hear that as Trump, quote, the same thing every day, every morning, same words, end of quote. If that had been a Democrat president-elect, I think we would not like to read that. What do you think about that?
Well, of course, Barack Obama was criticized because, you know, George W. Bush received that briefing. They arrived at the White House early every morning. And, of course, that was, not, you know, around 9/11. I'm not sure if before 9/11 that was the case.
Go ahead.
Well, I think, yes, I think that Republicans traditionally have been hawks and they would criticize a Democratic president. We criticized Barack Obama because he started reading a condensed version and he would not even get the briefing until he didn't want to be available till like 10 o'clock in the morning. That part I know, too. So that was he was a subject of scorn in D.C. for that. I would say this, Tim. I know you'll understand this. I think that a proper leader, executive, does delegate to people they trust because they cannot manage everything in detail. It's not possible. A good leader doesn't manage every detail.
Right.
A good leader has to put people in place that he can trust, and then he relies on their perspective, their condensation of these various areas.
I agree. And I would say on this, President Donald Trump is saying makes sense to me. What he's saying, he's not ignoring the intelligence briefings. He's basically saying, if you got something new to tell me, I want to hear it. Otherwise, you know, I'm not going to just go listen to the same thing I heard yesterday when there's no changes. And he's saying that Vice President-elect Mike Pence, who, by the way, I can't remember a vice president having so much responsibility so early. In head of the transition team, now he's going to be receiving the daily brief. I think you're right. Donald Trump is used to delegating. Now, he's a hands-on person, too, but he's also used to delegating in his business, and I think that he's going to hand a lot of stuff off to, you know, his subordinates, his cabinet level or his chief of staff. By the way, who will that be?
The chief of staff is Reince Priebus.
Right.
Excuse me. Yes, I know that, but I don't know. What am I? Kellyanne Conway, where's she going to be in the White House?
Well, I don't know. Well, she's right now considered a senior advisor. The chief advisor, of course, is Steve Bannon, former executive of Breitbart.
He's a friend.
But Kellyanne Conway, my understanding is she's at some point going to leave because she said she couldn't live in Washington and raise her children, I think.
Well,
is that what she said?
I've heard that. I don't know. I honestly don't know what the bottom line is on that. Kellyanne does have small children, and she does have a good life, you know, and it would be very disruptive to she's given up a lot. All these people who work on this campaign, look at Donald Trump, what he's giving up. Who needs this at 70 when you have a billionaire? But Kellyanne, yes, she's very, you know, she's a good mom and she's devoted to her kids. She's, Kellyanne is a red meat conservative. She's one of us.
What about press secretary? Who do you think will be that?
Well, you know, they, Laura Ingraham was considered early on. I'm assuming her name is still in there, but I heard today that Sean Spicer, who had been the RNC spokesperson, I would not favor that. I wish Laura Ingraham would take it. That's my personal opinion. But I don't know if she was. Laura would be giving up a lot, too. She's got a whole empire of her own. Right. But I heard her say she'd be willing to do it. I would love to see Laura Ingraham manage the press right now. I would love to see her in press conferences.
She's combative. I mean, I really like Laura. She's, you know, that is an unenviable job, I think, press secretary. You know, if you're
going to put your conscience in the closet.
Well,
it depends on the administration you're serving.
I know, but it's a professional spinning, yeah. Sometimes lying job.
It certainly has been under Obama. But do you remember how refreshing Tony Snow was?
Yes,
Tony Snow,
he was,
and Ari Fletcher too.
Yeah, Ari was too. So I love to see Laura is so acerbic, and there's such hostility with the press. I would love to see that.
That's just the kind of person Trump's probably going to.
This is just going to be a fun 4 years. Yeah. I mean, unless an asteroid hits us, this is going to be a fun 4 years because Trump is combative, and you, as you said, Laura, she's acerbic. Those press briefings, and I imagine they'll actually have some. It's going to be blood sport. I mean, it's just going to be fun to watch.
It is. Yeah. And Laura's not one to be on the defensive, which is what the posture of the so-called conservative Republicans has been. They're always, they're always doing that. Instead,
yeah.
Yes, I said that. And what of it? You know, that's what I'd like to hear more of that.
We're talking to Sandy Rios about, some already named Trump, administration officials, cabinet-level positions, also press secretary is not a cabinet-level position, but it's one of the most public positions that the administration has because it's the person that goes out and deals with the press and you see on TV every night on the news speaking for the president, whoever he is. You know, the interesting thing is here, I could see Donald Trump doing a lot of that himself. He's done a lot. But I could also see him kicking some news groups out of the White House.
Never know what Trump's going to do. You really don't.
He could come in one day and say, you know what, New York Times out.
Yeah,
he did actually do that for a time. I think he. Oh, sorry.
Walker was talking, but his microphone wasn't on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I was talking to myself.
Yeah.
No, I was saying they were talking on. I was watching Fox or somewhere. They said he didn't even have to have the. He's not. It's not required by law to have the press corps in the White House.
Oh, really?
That's more of
tradition.
Courtesy?
Well, you
want to communicate with
the American people.
People.
But he does that with 48 words.
Yeah.
140 characters.
But you know what? I would not advise that. If he asks
he won't
me,
do that.
He's not going to ask me that. I think they should be there, but I think that the press secretary should be able to give them what they deserve. They could treat them respectfully, but point out constantly, talk about fake news. You guys are the kings of fake news.
Well, that's
so how about some real news?
That's what Trump did during the campaign. He would call out the media during his rallies, the ones who he had a problem with. I don't know. It's going to, as Ed said, what did you say, fun?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be blood sport.
Yeah.
Buy tickets. It's going to be pay-per-view.
You know, from our side, that is a conservative side of things. To have somebody finally going to fight back against the liberals.
And
not be a weenie. That's going to be refreshing.
It is refreshing. We had that, you know, all during the campaign. I'm sure that's why so many people came out to support Trump. They were so tired of weakness and apologies and mealy-mouthedness. We don't have any of that with him.
All right. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, guys. Good to talk to you.
Okay.
Happy Tuesday.
You too. Sandy Rios with us there.
Grandma.
Grandma. We're going to take a break for news, and then in 5 minutes we'll be back. We're going to have Walker who?
We're going to have Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, and we're also going to have Scott Lindsay with Faith Life Ministries.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.